Ephesians chapter 5. I think this is our 33rd look in Ephesians. Yeah, it's hard to imagine, but we are coming to the end of the book. Probably in another month we'll get to the armor of God. Ephesians chapter 5. I just need to get there now. All right, starting here, I just want to read the first two verses of chapter 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. And we have begun to look at that, to be followers of God, to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. He gave himself as a living sacrifice. So should we when we look to Christ. And as we continue looking at that, being followers of God, walking in love, we are now down here to verse number 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Lord, thank you again for your word as we look to it. Truly help us to set the things of the world aside. I know many tune in on the live on Facebook as well. Lord, just more importantly too, it's so easy to get distracted when we're in the comfort of our homes. But Lord, help us to be focused on your word right now, so that it can truly change us and make us more into you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So here we are, for those of you here, there was inserts on the back of the church in the one side room, as well as in the basement and also the back room as you entered. So the insert, if you didn't get one, it's there. Walk as children, so sometimes you're darkness, but now you're light, so walk as children of light. Remember, to walk as children of light, Paul is constantly going back and forth here between who we were and who we're not now. What we should be doing because of who we are now. Remember, Ephesians chapter 2, he starts about by saying, we were dead in trespasses and sin. This is the beginning of darkness. This is what we were. We were in darkness. We were once just like the rest of the world is right now. There was no difference between us, who we are now as light, and them, who are the darkness. We were dead in trespasses and sin. In times past, we walked according to the course of this world, Ephesians 2:2. According to who? The prince of power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. We are called the children of disobedience. We're called the children of wrath. We're called darkness. That's what the rest of the world is. Also, we had our conversations, the way we walked in our life and what we did in our life were the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We also saw in 2:12 that what? We were without Christ. We had no hope in this world. And what a beautiful thing Christ did when he broke down that middle wall partition, when there's no difference between anybody, no Jew, no Gentile, but simply us on a personal level between God. Any of us could come to Lord Jesus Christ and accept him, place our faith in him, in him alone. We had no hope. Our understanding was darkened in 3, chapter 18. Our understanding was darkened. Sorry, that was, I had a typo on one of those. But chapter 3, verse 18, understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God, blindness, and of the heart, another typo. I know I proofread my insert, but apparently not enough. 3 verse 22, we are corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And most recently, in the recent weeks, what were the fruit of the flesh? What were the things that only the world could do? They could never strive to be righteous, because there's none righteous, there's no, not one. None of them can seek after God. Nobody can produce good before the Lord unless you are in Christ. Because if you're dead, spiritually dead, and you do something good in death, how can death produce good? It can't. You have to be spiritually alive to produce good. But remember, all these things, lying, stealing, corrupt communication, bitterness, wrath, clamor, evil speaking, malice, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, idolatry, whoremonger, darkness. That was just a recap of what we find just in the book of Ephesians, of what darkness was all about. But he says what? That was us, the worm. Now we hear a butterfly, completely made new. We are light. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Light is now a completely different identity. Looking again at Ephesians, we are created in righteousness and true holiness, 4:24. We are fully identified with Christ. We went over this many times in Romans chapter 6, in his death, his burial, his resurrection. We are members of his body, Ephesians 1:23, 4:16. We are literally his body, his flesh, his bones. Imagine having no hope without God in this world, just completely the wrath of God abiding on you, utter darkness. And by that simple faith, and faith alone, in Christ alone, his finished work, that now we are light. We are created in righteousness and truly, and we're his workmanship. God, who fully identified us, the spiritual baptism into his death, his burial, resurrection. Does that make sense? Because of all that, we are told to walk as children of light. I always hear the expression of, oh, when we get to heaven, when we get to the gates, there's usually someone standing there. You see that expression, and they'll let you in or not let you in or whatnot. Let's just say that was true. And you step before the gates of heaven, and whoever's there greeting you, and you say, let me in. And they're looking at you like, well, who do you think you are? And you pull out your ID, and you give it to them. And then they see the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness. They don't see anything that you've ever done. Nothing. Anything that was wrong, any type of sin, even if you happen to be living in sin at the time, but you leave this earth completely identified with Christ by simple faith alone, him alone, if that was a case and you presented your ID, they would see nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ and you'd be in. No questions asked. But for an unbeliever, one in darkness, if they were to present an ID, what would it have? It would have them on it. And there would be no righteousness whatsoever. Even the good things they said they did in life and the bad things they did in life, there would be absolutely no righteousness in them. And I just said that because it helped you get a grasp that we are fully identified in Christ. And that's important to know. Because when you understand that, it should cause you to walk. Because you are light in the Lord. You are a brand new creation. Something completely different. And it truly is, I think, one of the best analogies to look at the worm and the butterfly. Because it completely, completely changes. And that's who we are. We've been completely changed, never to go back. So we are light. So walk as children of the light. How many times do we hear, this world needs Jesus? Lord, we need a revival. God, why don't you do something? We're praying nonstop. And there's nothing wrong with praying for revival. There's nothing wrong with praying for a loved one or whatnot, saying, Lord, I just pray that they'll trust you, put their faith in you. There's nothing wrong with those things. But there's something wrong when that's all you do, not realizing that God has said he's going to work through you. There's something wrong whenever you say, God, you need to do it. When he says, I am going to do it if you're willing to step up, because I'm going to work through the body of Christ. That's how Christ works, through his body. We're part of his body. We're not someone separate over here and just praying to and saying, Lord, you do it all. We can't be Christian couch potatoes. He's called us to walk as children of light. God has shined in our hearts. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Second Corinthians 4, 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We truly have a treasure inside of us in this earthen, frail vessel of ours. The true power of God that resides in us. Second Corinthians, just turn back one chapter 3. starts out by saying, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some other epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Paul says, ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. When we choose to walk in love, when we choose to walk as children, like walk in the Spirit gets to work in you. You allow Him free course, free reign, and we can become living epistles. We're called it to action. We're not called to be, oh, hey, we're going to heaven. Let me just, maybe I'll pray for that person and pray that God will do this, God will do that. God, no, God's going to work through us. And we need to realize that. That's why we're called to be different, because we are different. We're called to walk in this new creation that we are. For we are truly living epistles. Remember, and I'm going to bring this up. Turn to John. Who is the living Word? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, but I want to point something out here. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning, was with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to him them gave him to be power, to be sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now this last verse. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of Father, full of grace and truth. Paul makes mention of that too, even here in Ephesians. The chapter we just got done, that Christ was what? He was truth. There's truth, as the truth is in Jesus. The Word became flesh, the living flesh. Does it ever occur to you that when we sit and we ponder our full identity with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think we comprehend all. I mean, we're going to continue to comprehend as we grow in Him. But do we realize that we have access to the very mind of God, the very heart of God, that the world does not have access to, that when we pick up God's Word, when we hear it, it comes alive. God can reveal His will, His heart, His desires, everything to His people, His believers, the children of light. Lord Jesus Christ was truth, the Word that became flesh. We are supposed to be reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, His resurrection. This new life, one day we'll even have a body that's fashioned like unto His glorious body. So even though it's not our power, we don't go out on our own. But when we choose, as we continue to look here, to be children of light, followers of God, walking in love, walking in the Spirit, we truly become living epistles. Living truth. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is at work reflecting the very righteousness of God to the rest of the world. The very truth of God's Word to the rest of the world through us. So when you look at so much of Scripture and we're identified in that, to be able to take part in such awesome things that we're not deserving of, but the Lord's willing to use us to do it. That's what He wants to do. So remember who we are in Christ. We are the light in the Lord. We were sometimes darkness, but we can never be it again. Sometimes we'll act like it, but we can never be it. Now let's live. Let's walk as children of light. And when we do, the Holy Spirit gets to work. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness is what? I better keep an eye on the time here. Make sure I don't get too far. Well, I think we got some extra time today. Good. So the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. What is goodness? It means basically the benefit, that uprightness of your heart and your life, the way we are towards others, towards our fellow man. We see that in 2:20. And any time in my notes, if you just see a verse reference without a book, that's because it's just in the same book that we're talking. So Ephesians 2:20 says, and are built up the foundation of the apostles. Oh, that was the wrong verse, sorry. We'll go to 4:28 and 29. But I have it wrong. Oh, that's why. Galatians. Turn with me to Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit. Goodness. You'll see these also in the fruit of the Spirit that's talked about in Galatians chapter 5. We'll be here for a little bit as well. But goodness means that benefit, that uprightness of life, the heart, the way we are towards our fellow man, remembering as always that it's not us that's doing it, but as we allow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us, we seek God's approval. And when we become dependent on Him, more and more dependent on Him and Him alone, then the very righteousness of God, which we'll get to here in a second, comes out in our life. That goodness bleeds out into the rest of the world. But look here and see if I have my reference now. Nope. So we'll move on to righteousness. But we are declared righteous. We talked about this. We're justified. The moment we trust Christ, the moment we say, I place my faith in His faithfulness, the very righteousness of God is what? It's in Christ Jesus. Friend, if you're here today, you don't know Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. It's simple. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not yourselves, it's a gift of God. The Word of God says there's no one righteous, no, not one. There's nothing you can do to earn yourself. Like we said before, you're in darkness. You're called the children of disobedience, the children of wrath. No way can someone who's spiritually dead produce anything alive, anything good before the Lord. But because of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, placing your faith in Him, you're saved. You're sealed for all eternity. That righteousness, we're declared righteous. We're justified. Now we are to live as such in the Lord. So we shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit, as we talked about already, who produces that fruit in our lives. Because when we're wholly given to Him and we walk in the Spirit, walk as children of light, the fruit of the Spirit bleeds out. So don't frustrate the grace of God. Galatians chapter 2, I turned you there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. For if we, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, it is therefore Christ the minister of sin. God forbid. As he progresses down through, look here at verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's the one that produces righteousness in your life. As Paul continued there at the end of chapter 2, end of chapter 3, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He says again, are you so foolish in verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect by the flesh. There's no righteousness in us before we were light. It was only because of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, His shed blood, that declared us righteous. And now since we have the Holy Spirit and we're told to walk in love, told to walk in the Spirit, to walk as children of light, it's only by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life do we now produce righteousness in our life. It's not us. We have to realize that walking in the Spirit is not a command under the law. But it's truly a command of grace. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that will produce Christ's righteousness in us. And that's important because, yeah, we can live righteous. because we've been declared righteous. But the only way we can do that is when we say, a situation comes up and you say, well, I think I can handle that. Well, then you're going to fail. You're not going to be able to live in the life that God has called you into being. But when you look at it and say, Lord, help me in this situation, you bring the Holy Spirit into play. You say, Lord, help me to do what's right in the situation. You go forward in the Spirit. Then He's there. Righteousness will be produced in your life. The fruit of the Spirit will be produced in your life. You go forward saying, oh, the world is saying that this is coming, like the end times are here. We're in the wrath of God. The tribulation started, all this stuff. But the Word of God says, no. That's something for a different time. But I feel so strongly that it's going on. Take your feelings, put them in God's Word. And when you do that, walk by faith, not by sight. Trust in God's Word. Then what happens? The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, starts to work. He produces righteousness. He produces that love. He produces that peace, that joy, all those different things in your life. When you say, I refuse to accept what my flesh has to say. I refuse to accept what the world has to say. Unless it agrees with God's Word, because that's what I'm dependent on. And when you do that, the walk as children of light, righteousness gets produced in your life. So it is goodness and righteousness and truth. What's truth? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He's praying to God the Father in John 17:17, to His disciples to sanctify them. Why? He tells it by the truth, because God's Word is truth. God's Word is what we should be looking for. You want the Holy Spirit to produce truth in your life? We have access to truth, the living truth, to the mind of God, the heart of God, everything that comes by looking to His Word, listening to it, studying it. Not because you have to, but because you realize, here's my ticket to God's heart. Here's my ticket to know what He wants for me. Here's my ticket to experience peace and love and happiness here. Yes, the Word of God in Ephesians does say one of the beautiful things of being children of light now is in 2:6 says, and we are raised up together, made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show His exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. We have an eternity where Christ is just going to shower things onto us. But right now we are told to live a life of sanctification now, to let the Holy Spirit work to produce these things in our life. We also know that truth, that love, in the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, don't need to turn there, but love rejoices in truth. You want to love somebody? You want to have a life of love? Well, let truth guide your steps. When you look to God's Word that we had already touched on before, the world says this, but God's Word says this. And you say, I don't care how much I feel this is right, but God's Word says this, that I put my trust, my faith in God's Word, walk by faith, and love will come out in your life. Truth will come out in your life. 4:21 in Ephesians 4:21, as I said already, if so be that you heard of Him and have been taught of Him, the truth is in what? In Jesus. One more thing of truth we'll get to in about a month here. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation. This is the end of the armor of God in Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How many times do we want to not walk as children of light, walk in the Spirit? When I say walk in light or walk in the Spirit or walk in love, that's basically saying that you're walking in the Spirit, because He's the one doing the work to manifest Christ in your life, to bring about that good. But anyhow, the truth, girt about, the truth that holds your whole attire together. You take off the belt of truth, your whole clothing is going to start to fall apart. But how many times the sword of the Spirit too, which is the Word of God, which is truth, do we sometimes want to pick it up and walk up to someone and hit them over the head with it and say, God's Word says this and you better do it? No. You stand ready with the whole armor of God. You stand ready, prepared, knowing God's word, ready to share it, ready to give an answer, but also having a life behind that as well, so that when someone does come, or you have the opportunity to share, to provide maybe correction or love, or that tough love, you do it with love, with seasoned with salt. You do it because you are constrained by God's love. You're constrained by the Holy Spirit, and He's the power. He's the working force behind you doing it. Whereas your flesh sometimes wants to take up and just start hitting people with it. So again, the fruit of the Spirit, and we won't go through all these, but I do want to point out something here in Galatians 5. And real briefly, he goes through love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance there in Galatians chapter 5. More of the fruit of the Spirit, which we won't get into. But remember, Galatians 5. Let me start here. Verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Why should we put off? Why does Paul start to tell us, don't be like the rest of the Gentiles? Don't be like the children of disobedience. Don't do those things. Don't let these things be once named among you. All these things he's starting to tell us to do, and now he's saying, walk as children of light. Why? Because the flesh and the spirit are contrary to one another. It's like trying to take a magnet, two north magnets, one saying, no, I know better, and the Holy Spirit saying, no, here's truth. But then self and the world saying something else, and you're like, can they come together and compromise? No. They just repel each other. They can't be together. So they contrary one another. And you cannot do both. You either do one or you do the other. I used the illustration before that I heard several years ago by a Sunday school teacher. But he had his pendulum. You know what a pendulum is? Think of a clock, old grandfather clock that's ticking back and forth. But a pendulum, you hang up. And on the right side, your left, my right, you have the Holy Spirit. This side you have you, your flesh. And you want to walk in love. You want to walk in the Spirit. And as you start walking by faith and by sight, you cut down into half. Your pendulum's there. And as you're going through life and it's swinging back and forth, sometimes you're on a spiritual high. You're walking in the Spirit. Sometimes you falter. You're walking in the flesh. But then there's times where you're challenged. You're challenged by God's word to say, wait a second, I shouldn't be doing that. And it's going to be hard. But by faith, I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to take God's word for what it is. And then the Holy Spirit produces. He witnesses with your spirit. He's reflected. You see Him work in your life as well as others around you because you're living for the Lord. Now, that center mark of the Spirit starts invading your flesh side. So as you're walking through life and that pendulum's going back and forth, because the Spirit isn't cut in half in your life, now He's more into your flesh side, as that pendulum is going back and forth, you're in the Spirit most of the time. And as you grow and you grow and you grow and you die more and more to your flesh, as you go through your ups and downs in your life, you'll always be in the Spirit by habit because you're always looking to Him. The struggle becomes less and less. Problems don't ever go away for good. But the way you're able to handle them and deal with them and be a victor through all of them becomes more and more prevalent in your life because now you've allowed Him into every part of your life. So I hope that makes sense too. Remember that light versus darkness. Light, us, the Spirit, versus darkness, them, the flesh, are contrary one another. They cannot be doing both. You're either doing one or the other. You can't be going out sinning and saying, oh, the Holy Spirit's with me. Yes, He's saved you. Yes, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, but He's not at work when you're living in sin. If you're having a desire, yes, beauty of grace is, you might falter, you might fail. We're all going to keep sinning throughout our life. We're never going to be perfect from this moment forward. But the idea of always putting God at the center of all, in all your failures and your successes, that's walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit isn't just like, I failed, so I must not have been in the Spirit. No. If you failed because you deliberately said no to the Spirit, yes, you failed in your flesh. He's still there. Galatians 5:25 says, If we live in the Spirit, this is at the end of the fruit of the Spirit, contrasting the flesh and the Spirit, talking about the flesh, fruit of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. At the end, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We are alive. We're spiritually alive. Christ has made us alive unto God. We're brand new creatures, so let's walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So when we walk, the fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives. And not only does it benefit us, but it benefits the whole world around us. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving has that idea of testing, approving, deemed worthy, acceptable, agreeable, or well-pleasing. You know, read this verse ahead of time. We've read it a few times already in Romans chapter 12. Uses the same words here. Read it again because it's good to know. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Kind of like what Paul's talking now. Look at who you are in Christ. He presented himself as a living sacrifice that was a sweet-smelling savior of God. Here we are to now be walking as children of the light, reflecting Christ, being that living sacrifice. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There we go. That good, proving that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. As you walk in the Spirit, what happens? You become a testimony to the world. All that is good and acceptable in the Lord, again, affects us. But more importantly, Christ is literally made manifest. He's made known to the whole world around us through us. Because we chose to love the Lord, to walk in love, to walk in the Spirit. And when the Spirit starts to work, he brings honor and glory to always God the Father and God the Son. He doesn't rarely will ever say anything to bring glory to himself, but he produces that in our life, brings Christ alive to the whole world around us. That's why we're living epistles. That's why God says he is using us today to cause the revival, to cause a change in someone's heart. Because he's going to work through his people. So we can't just be sitting around saying, God, you do it all. He says, well, I will. And if you don't want to, then this person over here that's willing, I'll do it through them instead. Anyhow, so we are fully identified with Christ. Remember also knowing that when you do step up to the plate, when you do live for the Lord, remember the balance. I remember so many people saying, always study to show yourself approved unto God. And it's always study, study, study. And yes, that's important. But if you have a doctorate in salvation, that you just know the plan of salvation, the application of salvation, you went to school for it, but you never went out and shared Christ's love. You were never so moved seeing a lost and dying world. What good is it? The world will call you a hypocrite. Or you go out living for the Lord, doing good all the time, and then someone says, I want to know who you know, because you're so happy. You say, I don't know. Then the world's going to say, oh, he's just some person doing some good stuff. They never saw Christ then. They thought they saw Christ, but then you have a chance to share what happened. You have to have this balanced life of knowing God's word, and God will work through his word. So we do need to know, to listen to it, to hear it, but then put it into action. There's no fellowship in Ephesians verse 11 here, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Fellowship means to partake in and or to share company with unfruitful. Again, I said this from the beginning today. The fruit of the flesh does what? It produces dead things. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. Death cannot produce life. So no matter how good someone wants to be, how good they want to work to get to heaven, they can never do it until you are declared right, until the very righteousness of God is imputed to your account. And that only happens by placing your faith in Christ's shed blood for your sins, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So unfruitful means basically the flesh, the people in darkness. They can only have unfruitful things. So have no fellowship with those unfruitful works of darkness. Romans 8 shares a little bit about this, about walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Why? Because the spirit has life and peace. The flesh is death. Why? Because now if you choose and want to start walking in darkness again, what good? If you tell the Holy Spirit, shut up, then what are you going to produce? Dead things to God again. What good is that? When we are a brand new creature, what good is a butterfly going to do if it doesn't get down, if it goes down and wants to eat leaves and stuff like that, when there's so many flowers depending on it to pollinate and so many other things? It does no good. So have no fellowship with the fruits of darkness, but rather, it says, but rather to a much greater degree, instead, we are to reprove them, expose, convict, and rebuke. And again, when we're told to do these things, that doesn't mean you go out on your own. There's a fine line that you can quickly cross over by being in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to move you and say the things that need to be said in certain situations. And you saying, oh, my flesh knows what to say. And you just lay into someone for not living for the Lord when you didn't allow the Holy Spirit. So again, always keep that in mind. So when he says for us to reprove, instead of fellowshipping with them, you're to reprove them. That's with you living your life for the Lord, being focused on him, being solely dependent on the Lord. Then, naturally, you will reprove. Naturally, we used this analogy before. Light, white. Darkness, black. Instead of you going and fellowshipping with them and letting them throw some blackness on your white canvas, you show up on the scene, and then you throw some white into their darkness, their black canvas. I think of 2 Corinthians, and for the sake of time, I'm going to turn to 6 verse 14, when it talks about being unequally yoked, and that's used many times for people in marriage, but it's for everything in life. There's a lot of idolatry going on about people wanting to still do the things in the temples and the things that were going on with the false gods and whatnot. But being unequally yoked, Paul asked many questions, two of which he says, for what fellowship or participation hath righteousness, us, with unrighteousness then? Because we're declared righteous by the blood of Christ. Well, and he also asked, what communion or partnership or association hath light, us, with darkness then? So he makes you think about being unequally yoked with them. Remember, again, we are not the sword of spirit again when we reprove. We are to take it. We're to be ready for it to be used by the Holy Spirit. So we present it, and the Holy Spirit's the one that will pierce the heart, pierce the mind of those individuals. We're not to hit people with it. Even though the very next verse, and this is also the comment on last week, he continues on, have no fellowship with them, the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Again, I'm not telling you can't be friends with people that aren't saved. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you're not supposed to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You might have unsaved family and friends. I'm not telling you can't hang out with them or love them or go to family gatherings with ones that aren't saved. That's not what I'm saying. But whenever they choose to participate in the works of the flesh, you're the one that stands up and says, no, I will keep my white canvas white, and then I will influence you by the Holy Spirit instead of you influencing me. For it is a shame to even speak of those things in verse 12, which are done of them in secret. Last week we talked about a lot of things that dealt with sexual sins, and it was hard in a way because today it's so prevalent in our society of how sexually oriented society is on things. And I wanted to give just enough so you can all comprehend that it truly is everywhere. You can be tempted and pulled away. It isn't a simple saying as me being faithful to my wife, I'll never commit adultery, or you might be saying, I won't do that with my husband, I won't commit adultery. But what's going on in your mind? What does the Lord see? Are you still looking at certain things like pornography? Are you still taking that extra look? I've heard that with people I worked with before, it's okay to look but not touch. But it's hard to make sure you give enough information so you know exactly what's going on out there without crossing a line. That's why Paul says, for it's a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But also twofold. One, Don't even talk about those things. You worry about living your life for the Lord, letting the Holy Spirit be the one that convicts and reveals. Your part in that is just being the lighthouse. You prepare the lighthouse. You polish up the reflectors and everything so that you can constantly shine that beacon of light, which is the Holy Spirit taking and revealing Christ in the world, and not the other way around of you saying, I will take the light and I will shine it my way. No. So it was hard for me to even share in enough detail, but it's for you to know, because it isn't our job to go into those fellowships of sin and say, this is wrong, that's wrong. You be the beacon of light. So uphold and walk in the Spirit. So verse 14, we'll finish up here. Wherefore you say, verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatever doth make manifest is light. So you want to be we want change in America. We want this, we want that, we want a happier life. How does it all happen? And I'll use the lighthouse example again. Our job is to keep the lighthouse. We are the temple of God. Our job is to keep that lighthouse clean, in good shape, making sure it's not breaking down, make sure it can stand up against the weather, the storm, making sure all the windows are clean, the reflectors are clean. So who? The Holy Spirit can keep that beam of light shining constantly all the way around, 360 degree, wherever we walk, whatever we do, it's always shining. But the moment that we want to step out and say, I want to participate in these unfruitful works, I want to try living in this death that I'm already delivered from, I'm not even that person anymore. I'm someone completely different. But if we want to still use that, it won't change that you are this lighthouse, that you're permanent to the Lord Jesus Christ forever. But man, can you dirty up the windows? Man, can you dirty up the reflectors? So that the Holy Spirit, you tell him, I don't want you to shine anymore. And he can't. He's just shining hardly at all because you don't want to walk in him. He wants to use us, not only for our benefit and produce awesomeness in our life, but also to make manifest Christ in the whole world. And we have a great responsibility that comes with great benefits if we're willing to just simply walk by faith, not by sight. When we're confronted with truth, say, I'll take it at God's word. I will walk by faith because I know the Lord will produce something good in my life. I know the fruit of the Spirit is nothing like the fruit of the flesh. So you can look forward to living for the Lord. You don't have to look forward to saying, I guess I have to do this. I have to be controlled by the Spirit, which we'll look at next week. No. Being controlled is simply being dependent on the Lord and realizing when you're fully dependent on him, you have nothing to worry about. You have absolute security. You have absolute peace. You have absolute trust when you're solely dependent on him and not yourself. So be a true lighthouse to let the Lord Jesus Christ be revealed by the Holy Spirit because we're walking in him every single day. Lord, thank you again for this time together. For the brief moments that we have each week, help us to continue just to live for you each and every day. That, Lord, no matter what we do, where we go, when we're walking in the Spirit, we are a beacon of light. Sometimes we don't always see it. But, Lord, help us to remember that the spiritual realm, even Satan and his cohort, they definitely see it. And they don't like it. Because when you're revealed through the Holy Spirit inside of us, things change, things happen for the good. So Lord, help us to remember that great responsibility and help us to be willing to truly love you and stand in your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Starting to number 299.